Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, this is Joseph Silver Slag. I am solo today. Grant is out of the studio. We've got quite a bit to talk about. We are going to touch on the newest coach for the Utes football team, Kyle McDonald. We are going to talk a little bit about Utah hoops, particularly Oregon game coming up and what's been going on with the Utes offense, which is suddenly one of the best in the country. And I am also going to be calling managing editor for Utah's rivals site, Mikey Saltis. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Utah recruiting signing day coming right up. First, I want to hit on Kyle McDonald a little bit. He got hired out of Eastern Washington. He was running backs coach for Troy Taylor. Seems to be a heck of a guy. He certainly has a great amount and style on Twitter and social media. Seems to have really taken off there, putting a lot of energy into recruiting, and seen him talking about taking trips to Arizona and California and Texas, and he's flying all over the map talking to kids. And it looks like, and we'll talk to Mikey about this a little bit more, but it looks like he's had a lot of success with running backs. We're hearing good things from offensive recruits about their conversations, not just with Kyle McDonald, also with Troy Taylor, but a lot of good stuff about his energy and things like that. And I think we'd all agree, great coach or not great coach, if Kyle McDonald's a great recruiter, then he's a great hire. You feel good about who we've got on staff in terms of the coaches, and certainly we know that Florida Winning Camp knows how to coach up a running back. He's done a great job with a lot of guys. So that's pretty great. In particular, I've heard that he and Coach Taylor, and Mike knows more about this, but that he and Coach Taylor kind of going over game film with offensive recruits and showing them their stuff. Component. All right, I am going to give Mikey a quick call here. And then we'll go from there. You guys want to bear with me for a minute here. I am not the best technical mind. So, just a minute. All right, this is Joseph Silverswag back. I've got Mikey Saltis here with you to talk a little bit about some Utes recruiting news in particular. Mikey, I was just telling the listeners about Kyle McDonald and kind of what we've already seen him bring to the table. You know, nobody really knows how he's going to be as a running backs coach, but he seems to have brought a lot out as a recruiter. So I was wondering if you had any insight on what's making him so effective.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Kyle, I mean, he was under the tutelage of, you know, even Dennis Erickson. He has a lot of background, you know, football-wise. But the thing I noticed most with Kyle McDonald is just his engagement and involvement on Twitter and with his recruits. And of all the recruits that I've spoken to in the last two and a half weeks that he's been on board. I mean, I asked him, like, what coaches have kind of, like, stood out to you, you know, and so I thought, Kyle McDonald, and, you know, he's so energetic. He's so, you know, he knows Taylor's offense to a T, obviously, because he coached with him, you know, and that's definitely playing a role into Utah recruiting-wise and just bringing additional energy, you know, to the fold. I think that was much needed.
Yeah, it seems to have a maybe a way of communicating with kids and sort of a youthful energy that other people have been lacking. I've also been hearing stories about kind of going over film a little bit with recruits and demonstrating knowledge. Has that been more Troy Taylor doing that, or has Kyle been in those meetings as well?
You know, that's actually typical for any official visit, actually. They'll go over a potential prospect's film with them and see, and also, like, the university's film. So they do that. They've done that previously, but from my understanding is they'll go over a recruit's film, show them how they'd fit into Utah's offense based off both of the films, and then kind of go from there and talk about their role, potential role in the offense. So I think that's typical, not necessarily a new thing with Troy Taylor and Kyle McDonald, but definitely a plus for Utah, considering, you know, Taylor and McDonald worked together previously, so they know each other's strengths, you know, the strengths of the offense and what to really expect from these offensive guys.
Great. I want to ask you a couple of questions about players who've already committed to the Utes. I know we're trying to build a bigger class here. We've got some big names still coming in at the end, and we'll talk about those later. But I wanted to ask you two questions about the guys who are already here. Mm-hmm. Of the ones who are here, who's stood out to you as a first-year difference maker and somebody that you think people will be hearing his name called a lot, maybe as a true freshman or maybe as a redshirt freshman in a couple of years?
Well, there's been three signees, actually. There's Corian Ballard, the safety prospect out of Blinn College. There's Jordan Agassiva from Pima Community College. Those both JUCO transfers. And then there's also Tyquist Hampton. He's a 6'3 wide receiver out of El Paso, Texas. So of those three, I'd probably say the biggest impact player is going to be Corian Ballard. Obviously has big shoes to fill in for Marcus Williams, an all Pac-12 player, that sort of thing. But Blinn College is one of the best, you know, junior colleges probably in the South and maybe even in the nation. And then as far as Jordan Agassiva, I expect him to come in pretty much immediately right at the right tackle role, filling in for Tevi, even Jackson Barton. I expect Jackson Barton to move over to the left tackle. So those two, I think, will be immediate impacts. And then as far as Tyquist Hampton, the other signee that's, you know, in the winter workouts right now, he might maybe like a year, maybe even a 2 year, depending on if he redshirts this year away. Maybe he is an impact player. I'm not sure. But I like the wide receiver depth as it is right now with, you know, you got Raylan Singleton, you have COC Wilson, Damari Simpkins. So the depth of the wide receiver, I mean, you're losing Tim Patrick and Corey Butler-Bird, but there's some studs coming into the program and guys that they're still actively recruiting that haven't yet made a decision, but favoring Utah.
Yeah, the stuff on Rivals right now is looking good for some of these wide receiver prospects. We'll sort of see how that shakes out over the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Then I wanted to ask you, I've seen some questions, you know, from listeners and elsewhere online, some curiosity about Utah's most, I think, most recent commitment still. This is the first player, I think, Devin Lloyd, the first player to join the class who's not a 3- or 4-star prospect. He's a 2-star safety high school player. And I was curious, based on your kind of communication with coaches and other people inside the program, what is it about this particular prospect that they were so excited about? Because they seem to have more or less left behind that kind of diamond in the rough mentality that had driven recruiting in the Mountain West and early Pac-12 years, and really said, yeah, this year, you know, we're just going to go toe-to-toe with all the other schools in the Pac-12,
right,
and we're going to go after these kind of elite, ready-to-play guys. And this guy, I mean, the Rivals rating on him suggested he isn't that guy yet. So what is it about him that they found worth the offer?
Well, with Devin Lloyd, in high school he actually played out of position pretty much his entire career. I mean, he played a little bit of safety, he played some wide receiver, some defensive end. So really, you're looking at an outside linebacker from Utah's perspective. And what they really liked about Devin is just his reaction time and his explosiveness, you know. You know, you can't really teach instincts at least, and you can't really teach physical, you know, gifts, really. And he has that. I mean, he's 6'4". He can probably pack on another 20 pounds to 215 pounds already, you know. So he can – what I like about Lloydstorm in particular is just his instincts and his reaction to the ball and just his knack for being where the ball is, being where the play is, and being that, you know, that spark, you know, either on offense or on defense. But it looks like he'll be an outside linebacker, at least for Utah. And I like that. And, you know, Utah, I don't think will ever get away from, you know, the diamond in the rough mentality just because, you know, to be fair, I mean, let's face it, we're not on the same recruiting level as USC or Ohio State right now. So we're going to have to find these guys. But there has to be a balance between, you know, going after these four-star immediate impact players like Corian Ballard or even Jalen Johnson, Jay Sufele, and then balancing that out with the projects like Devin Lloyd, maybe even, you know, Jason Shelley, the quarterback that's going to be coming in. He's a few years away, but, you know, doesn't mean he's not going to win some games for Utah.
Sure, I hear you. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. So he's a pretty big kid, huh, Devin Lloyd?
Oh, yeah.
6'4", 215, and frame to grow.
Exactly. You know, and recruiting that San Diego region right now, I mean, that's a priority, at least for Fred Whittingham. You know, it's a ways away, but they got the 2018 quarterback, Jack Tuttle, and he, you know, he's top priority, and he's going to be scouted and evaluated by top schools in the nation. But, you know, to recruit that nation as well as, you know, Fred Whittingham has, it's actually pretty incredible.
Yeah, Tuttle's a great name. I'm excited to see him on the hill. Hopeful, but optimistic that even though he's a 2018 recruit, he'll stick around since schools seem to fill their quarterback's spots a lot earlier.
Right. And
take less of them so they sort of fill up and then quarterbacks are done and everybody else sorts out later.
Exactly. I mean, quarterbacks, they commit early for a multitude of reasons. You want to build a class around a quarterback. You want to know the offense that you're going to be in if you're a wide receiver and all that. So he did commit like pretty early, but at the same time, you know, Utah was the landing spot for him. And I think he kind of lucked out with the Taylor offense. You know, he committed under Aaron Roderick, and there's kind of like a, you know, different style, but I think Troy Taylor's just going to work his magic once he gets on campus, and Jack Tuttle might be the next great Utah quarterback.
Yeah, we're excited. Grant and I talked last episode about Troy Taylor, and we're pretty uniformly excited. We didn't think they could do a whole heck of a lot better with that hire. So I want to ask you, and I know you've got things that, you know, are for members on the board and, and subscribers and things, but to get what insight we could on two big-time prospects that we're hoping come to Utah. The first is Jalen Johnson, who didn't decommit but maybe made a hard commitment into a soft commitment subsequent to his visit to Arizona State. And now we don't know. We haven't heard a lot. Not sure what's going on there. I was wondering if you guys still feel good about that commitment, if you still consider him committed, and how you see it maybe progressing over the next few days here up to signing day.
With Jalen Johnson, I mean, he is an Army All-American. I believe he's just the first ranked prospect in the nation by Rivals. So,
like,
you know, yeah, something great. But, you know, Jalen, he hasn't publicly or privately decommitted from Utah, that much I can tell you. And
okay.
I can tell you that Sharif Shaw is just working his tail off, keeping him here. I mean, he was in an in-home visit with Jalen in his home in Fresno, California this week, and I believe Kyle Whittingham has one scheduled next week. So at this point, I would like to say that he will sign with Utah. I mean, obviously he signed with Utah because he saw that there's four cornerbacks that felt like home. So it's just a matter of reminding him of that. And, you know, he always said that he was going to reevaluate his position, his stance with Utah after he took all his visits, and he did that. And I can see why there's area of concern with ASU, but, you know, it's just a matter of Utah being there the longest with him and, being there up until the end, and I believe they can do it, and I'm expecting him to sign with Utah on signing day.
Good. That's good news. How do the rules work about in-home visits? I know they get their 5 official visits, and he's already taken all of those. Is there a limit to the number of times coaches can visit them in the house? Is there a last word that somebody's going to get due to those rules, or is it kind of a free for all with in-home visits and it's just wild right up to Saturday?
It's regulated. I mean, head coaches for any university, they can only visit one prospect. Well, they can visit one time with one prospect in their home. So Kyle Whittingham, he can only visit Jalen Johnson once, and it appears that he'll be visiting him next week in his home. As far as assistant coaches, there's a little bit of regulation, but they get a little bit more room. You know, they get quite a bit more in-home visits with their guys.
So we've been saving maybe the Whittingham, the Kyle Whittingham visit for the 11th hour here to sort of close the deal. Is that a fair?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay. Then the other big name that I know people are interested in, if they're not interested in, they should be, is Jay Tufele, who's another, I think, Rivals 100, maybe Rivals 250 player, and a heck of an athlete being recruited hard by Michigan and USC and Ohio State as well as Utah. There's nothing not to like when you watch his film. I'm curious what you're hearing and how you think that one maybe might wind up. Because sometimes the Utes are in these things sort of a almost generosity on the part of a local player. They put the hat on the table, so the hat's on the table, but it's not strongly being considered. And the buzz I hear is that's not what we're seeing here with Tufele, and that this is a real battle with these heavyweights.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely fair. With Jay, he's the 37th ranked prospect in the nation and about the 4th defensive tackle. And he's a 4-star prospect that just missed his 5th star basically because his size. I mean, he's 6'2", 305, but it looks like he could put on another 20 healthy pounds, you know, and that's assessment. That's a testament to his strength and how well he's been playing recently in these camps. But with Jay, the Utah staff has been on him for as long as he's been playing in high school pretty much. I would think the biggest threat to Tufele is USC, and it's going to be a battle to the end. He recently took his official visit to USC. He'll be officially visiting Utah this weekend with a slew of prospects from around the nation. But, you know, with Jay, I think the draw to Utah at least is, you know, the Bingham to Utah to NFL pipeline that's kind of emerged recently. You know, you have the Lotulelei brothers, just great defensive linemen all around, you know. And he's listening for sure to that prospect of, you know, playing with Lowell, you know, a future NFL guy, and being the star on the team and, you know, continue on the tradition, the Pauley pipeline, if you will. With USC, they just flipped a defensive tackle prospect named Marlon Tuipulotu. And he, you know, he's a little bit lesser ranked than Tufele, but great in his own right. And they're also in the game with defensive tackle Aubrey Solomon. So, you know, I doubt they'd sign three defensive tackles, especially at USC when, you know, they're an offensive-minded team and they're still in the game with a lot of good wide receivers left on their board. So let's hope that Aubrey, you know, signs with USC and then left with Utah. But right now, you know, quell some fears by Utah fans. But right now, Utah's in a good position. I mean, the staff's been visiting him. They were in his home the day that he returned from his BYU official visit 2 weeks ago. So, you know, Utah's right there, and they have been throughout the process. It's just a matter of, you know, like you said, closing the deal and keeping him home and, you know, eventually being one of those hometown heroes.
All right. Well, that all sounds like like good news. Is there anything else you feel like you fans should be watching for here? It's as we get up to signing day. Any names maybe who are sort of off the radar that are going to get on the radar here pretty quick that are and are worth keeping an eye on?
It's just a matter of Utah initials. You know, the how many people they can sign this class, and that's filling up. I believe there's 12 commitments right now. So you're looking around like the total range being from about, you know, 18 to 22, maybe even 19, just depending on how many sign and sends they sign. Of the players to watch, I would say a big name to keep an eye on is Brian Thompson. He's a four-star wide receiver that, you know, is very interested in Utah, and he named Utah one of his top schools, along with UCLA, Nebraska, Oregon, Boise State. So pretty high caliber offenses, and he is very interested in Utah, and he's a name to keep an eye on. Also, a recent decommit running back from Oregon State is by the name of TJ Green. He's another four-star running back that officially visited Utah this past weekend and subsequently decommitted from Oregon State and recently had an in-home visit with staff at Utah. So he's another one to keep an eye on that I think might be pending with the Utes. Those two are good offensive guys. There's also Reggie Roberson. He was a recent official visitor, and he's another name to keep an eye on. Wide receiver prospect that's also considering West Virginia, Illinois, a couple other schools. But then on the defensive side of the ball, this coming weekend is full of high-caliber prospects that really we haven't even seen at Utah before yet. Jordan Lolotea from East High School plays defensive end. Jay Tufele is coming, Mo Unatoa from Hawaii, Giuliano Falanico, who is a USC commit that will probably play either safety or linebacker at the next level, Leaky Bimahi, that's also considering USC, UCLA, Virginia. There's Lorenzo Foatea from, he's from Salt Lake City, I'm not sure what high school, Tanaila Putatau, he has two brothers on the team, considering Utah and Oregon State. And a few others like George Moore, who he's a 6'7", 300-pound offensive tackle that could be one of those impact guys, just like Garrett Bowles was last year. So there's a couple of others that are visiting this weekend, but those are all guys that I'd look out for and watch and pay close attention to at least until a week from now when the ink dries on signing day.
And then we can all calm down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Then we can look forward to spring ball and see where where all
actual
these players belong. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk about all that stuff. I appreciate your insight, and we'll have to get you back on again here in a little while to talk about 2018 when that starts to ramp up.
My pleasure. Thank you, Joe.
Sure thing. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
All right, that was Mikey Saltis, who is the managing editor of Utah's Rivals. What is that? As you guys heard, knows a whole heck of a lot about Utah football and recruiting in particular. The last thing that we wanted to talk about today was Oregon basketball game coming up here tomorrow, and then the just how good Utah's been. We've been without David Collette for a few games, and it looks like we're going to be without him for the Oregon game, which is a shame. But on the bright side, the Utes haven't slowed down a bit. They have scored a ton of points. A lot of the stats that I track on Utah basketball show them jumping up, way up, in a bunch of offensive metrics. They're a top 20 team in effective field goal percentage, which gives extra kind of extra points for three-pointers. When you hit one, and offensive efficiency, they're climbing up. I mean, they're just scoring a real ton of points, and it's been a good ride. Oregon is a tough team, and they score a lot, and they presented a lot of problems for Utah over the years they've been in the Pac-12. But hopefully this year will be different, and it kind of needs to be. Utah's looking really good. Their RPI is climbing. They're highly rated on KenPom. They're getting some top 25 votes even as they continue to put up big numbers and win these games. But what they don't have, they just don't have, is a signature win. They lost to Arizona. They lost to UCLA. They lost to Xavier. They lost to Butler. And then that loss to San Francisco in the Hawaii tournament. The loss was bad enough, but what really hurt about that loss was that we lost the opportunity to see them play against, I want to say it was San Diego State and UNLV, two RPI top 100, top 75 type teams, worthwhile adversaries that wouldn't be marquee wins, but would be legitimate resume building wins. And right now, the Utes just don't really have one of those. And this home game against Oregon is their, not their last, but their best opportunity to get one before the Pac-12 tournament. If they can't beat them here at home, kind of stands to reason that it would be hard to beat them on the road. And then we'd have to hope to beat them in Vegas for the tournament. Right now, I'm not really sure which way I'm going on it. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm concerned about the absence of Collette. Oregon doesn't run through bigs. It's not that kind of program. So I don't think that not having a dominant big in the paint is going to be necessarily the end of the world. But Utah is going to have to find that production from somewhere. For my eye, Utah's been all about Cedric Fairfield. As goes he, so goes the Utes. He's been a hot shooter lately. The Utes have been putting up a ton of points and creating a lot of trouble for other teams. So I think if he can continue to do that, if his three-point shooting stays hot, that we should get a W here at the Huntsman. I know that Coach K is really eager to sell out. Last I saw you yesterday, there were about 700 seats left. Probably most of those are gone. So you should go check. So not pick up some tickets and get that game sold out so it can be nice and loud in there. I'm going to take the Utes to win. I'll say 86-82. Or maybe 98-94 in overtime. And that's everything that we've got for you today. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you guys are having a good one. And go Utes.
Thanks for listening to U Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Network. Find us on Twitter @U Talk Podcast or email @utalk@gmail.com.